you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Could we just pray in the Spirit for a few minutes today? Kumbres da la lavros taste. Inglevara canzoses elevastangombra da dastasi. Aeta sia frondestia la comboro destatan. Ingela lamando destia bruro mo coleliasa zosastayana. Edindo dondovo yelema caragosa zizestia la lomokoye. Candreste liviro tostele bradoze zi aeta sia frosta klinga brandasta. E dondi jeji dirikitse zoze le lavarone kinjandando basizasa. Ingeru tetia lalo kombo roboshin zisinza zizaza vayota rabradasta. Lord evrato te kishingi deregison zeke arromongo le kishta zobrobo noshtiatan. Andro dre dirista la lavarosta zizasa. Egrege diristo zasazo si jasazasi. Adoze simbrado dirista la lavro de restiza la la combonda stata prashtati. Englege varado sanzia sazo zabratashtam. Englege varado sanzaza shida tazosi. Erato se la varado se ziza karomushte evkenisto nekiceda. Edo sekida na kashala matsozasa. Edo dodo de bashadzo zesizasan. Edinini mashadzo zesizamanako boromo lele barashtasa. Edo nono mo zesingirishtengligiri namashtavro manasazi. Engelele la la magabro ndirishtaka. Ebrinini sole le vero mo gosta le merikizosi. Andi di sole mereke erabadasanzi. Ebenini shomene cito brana nasandalaka. Edo doste evoni kemeristo kelele lamasa zasasasabatatashta kapata. Ero non shili veragado sia la lavaramunana. Elvaraboshaya tasadashta girene masonda brandara lakaya. Edo ne kishe do dere branda da da sizosi. Ele kamaya zonze zizasa zobo donde shile le baradara gabasizasa. Onde dishe le barado disiatan. Edo ne kishe dere di diatsosa. Evneni kishte le varanot ea kamanashtunza. Engrigi disto zese zarabrashto sizasa. Abrando onde disa do de brita saza sa jodzi si aprando onde disa zazo si. Engelele la kosho zedzi se brede disto ondo bronda tarara na makacha tarabasa zasi. Ed onde disa zaso ze kere na bashtini na tado shta yatan. Ed onde ridi brashta zasi zasa, friend. Ebrondo ondoste, friend. Brandazele, friend, friend. Rambronde, pay attention. Abrando son de rigligi, brandonde, just come up here. Rambondonde da da. E don 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 do se di dandasta. E banana nosta. Elega masta. Now I'm going to ask you while you're praying, I'm going to ask you to pray right in the same flow that I'm praying with. Ask Fran to come up here. She knows how to do that. I believe that we need, what is your prime minister's name?
Kevin Rudd.
Kevin Rudd. We're praying for him. And as we pray for him, I want everybody flowing in the same stream. So you need to be listening to yourself and be sure you're in the same stream and flowing the same, where we're all in agreement in our flow. Jesus said there are rivers of living water, and this he spake of the Spirit, meaning there are many different ways you can go, but let's get in the same Spirit. So by faith, I want you to use your faith to hook up right in the same flow that I'm in, and we'll just let the Lord lift that as we pray for Kevin Rudd. Era da doste, ebara nahatasta, edindi gijedo de heranano tanda badasadza. E dandando de dine ne heto machatandaba. E adono no combondon di scene ninistota. E barrando no moromo con senzin zedo dashada. E don 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 di se di sa zo de si sa 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 si. A don 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 do ste che vere ni 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 ki cha do no 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 sta prata. Nya la la kamo no no sta branda di sa sa. De de vana como yeste e varra no no zanzi. E kera na zon zo senge stenge ni ni ma stom rana namata. Nevo nomo, ne ne nevo noma, na nama na namasta, lege mene stomerata, ne kere basso zositi, ne le kemeste kema roma kanzasibo, ho le kele makachano como yon zoda brana na na nastaka. Ebro no no ne che le maromali ne monde e vone patano le che ne tonto no mo chandana nema yes a from donde le marano garan e con bronzonzi che testa cad e lo con bronzonde ste chi va na nasso e vene sti che le maia no no ne banana he che patana massazo sai. He so dora brada doshetiata. Haro derishtiata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we lift the assignments that have been set against him in the spirit and against him spiritually, against his spiritual life. In the name of Jesus, I arrest you and I command you in Jesus' name that you come to nothing. I say in the name of Jesus that all the strategies, all the judgments, all the plans, all the adversaries, all the laborers that you have sent across his path to distract, to distort, and to deceive in Jesus' name, I tell you no. I say in the name of Jesus, the eyes of his understanding are enlightened to know and to understand the hope of his calling. I believe in Jesus' name his eyes are opened and flooded with light to know intimately the knowledge of God and his will and his wisdom and his ways in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that he walks in the light of the gospel. He walks in the light of the glorious gospel. Thank you, Lord. He has translated out of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of your love. I thank you, Father. His life is protected. His mind is protected. His assignment is protected. And that which you have called him to do, he will succeed. For your plans will not be thwarted. Your purposes will not be diminished. But all that you have set before him to do, he will accomplish, and he will do it to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I declare that he is blessed. I declare that he is blessed coming in, and he'll be blessed going out. Thank you, Father, that his life is hid with Christ in God. And that his family is sealed and secure and whole and well. And every tongue that rises up to judge him and to condemn him, that, Lord, the tongue of righteousness will prevail in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we assign the angels of the Lord to encamp round about him and to stand guard over him in that office in the name of Jesus and to watch over him, to protect him, to guard his life in Jesus' name. To guard his life in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We charge you now, angels, to go before him and to make his way plain. To make his path straight and to make his path clear in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Father, those assignments, those words, those wicked words in Jesus' name. Ha! Come to nothing in the name of Jesus. Oh, how we thank you and praise you for it. For you are a good God. You are a God of the blessing. You are a God of the blessing. You are a God of the blessing. And I thank you, Lord, that your blessing is being revealed. Your blessing is being poured out in this land. Your blessing is being poured out through that public office. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I am asking that you stir the church to pray. to stir the church to silence her judgment words, to rise up and to speak words of faith, to speak words of love, to speak words of empowerment and encouragement that are strong in the Lord and give their supply to the chosen of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we declare it to be so. Now, Lord, I lift to you all the governors of all the states of this great land. I say in the name of Jesus that they rise in their office by the grace of God. I thank you, Father, that their eyes are lifted up and they look up and say, "Oh, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord." I thank you, Lord. Their eyes are open. Show them, Lord. Open their eyes to see that you are the one who have placed them in their seats of the authority. They have not put themselves there, but you have granted it unto them. I'm asking you, Lord, to open their eyes to your grace. Open their eyes to see that it is by your hand. It is by your grace. It is by your power. It is by your will that they even take a breath every day. And it is by your grace that they serve you and your people. Oh, I thank you, Father, that you deal with them in a strong manner, with a strong hand, with a strong arm, Lord. You deal with them to see and to know, Lord, your ways, your words, the strength of your right hand, the might of your judgments, Lord, that they might be clear and see and know. Lord, we pray over Parliament and all of the operations of this government in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for every official in the name of Jesus, that each and every one of them would have ears to hear, that they would hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. For there is a Good Shepherd over this great land, and that they would hear His voice. And Lord, for those who have hardened their hearts against you, if there be any, Lord, that would say, "I refuse to hear the voice of the Lord. I refuse to go the way of righteousness." Then we ask you, Lord, by your mercies on behalf of the people, to take them and remove them from that seat of authority and to replace them, Lord, in your time. Replace them in your way so that the judgments of Almighty God might be executed in this land. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we lift up the judges that sit on the benches of this land. We lift them up to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask you to open their eyes to Him who is judge of all. We ask you to open their eyes, Lord, to see, even as Jesus said, that they should not be afraid of wickedness, not be afraid of darkness, but that they should be afraid of Him who has the power to cast lives into hell and in whose hand men's lives are held. I pray that their eyes would be open to see that you are the judge of all, that you are the judge of righteousness and wickedness. You are the judge of what's right and what's wrong. You are the judge of what's light and what's dark. And I ask you, Lord, to open their eyes, Lord, to see that you be the judge and that they would embrace your judgments, that the people might be blessed by the judgments of God. For in the judgments of God, there is always mercy. In the judgments of God, there is always life. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we ask you to turn all the assignments of darkness, all the assignments, those people that have been put in their positions under the direction of oppression and darkness. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I am asking you to shine the light. I am asking you, Lord, to remove them. I am asking you, Father, to displace them from any seat, Lord, to displace everyone, Lord, that was not seated there by you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. Oh, how we thank you for that. How we thank you for that. Abrando doble gebrashta la cabroshtatstayata. And now, Lord, we pray over the eyes of the understanding of this nation, that, Lord, the eyes of the people here, that they would be flooded with light, that they would be enlightened to see, enlightened to know, enlightened to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd over this land. That, Lord, their eyes would be open to see where their true enemies are. That their eyes would be open to see and to know and to understand that that there is a kingdom of darkness, and to recognize Him, Father, by recognizing that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the light of all men. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for all the people of this great land. We pray for all the Australians in the name of Jesus. Those that are at home and those that are abroad, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the protection of this land. We pray in Jesus' name that all the thoughts that and assignments against this land from abroad and from within, in Jesus' name, we tell you no. In Jesus' name, we declare that this truly is the great South land of the Holy Spirit. And we say in the name of Jesus, you will touch not God's anointed. And you will do this land no harm in Jesus' name. And all your strategies, all your plots, all your plans, all your devices will come to light in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you will be caught with the trouble even in your own hands. And we pray, Lord, even as the Scripture has taught us to pray, that the snare that they lay for the righteous, Lord, that they would be caught in their own snare. And Lord, as they are caught in their snare, may their eyes turn to You and cry out for help. And I thank You, Father, that Your ears are open to their cry. For we pray for them and ask You to hear them in the name of Jesus. Oh, how we bless You, Lord. How we bless this land. We bless this land. We bless this land. We bless this land. We bless the water of this land. We call for rain on this land. We say rain in this land. Rain of the Spirit in the name of Jesus, and the rain of the heavens to pour out on this land, to satisfy her dryness, Lord, in the Spirit, and to satisfy the dryness of the land. In the name of Jesus, that as the people would see, Lord, and cry out for the waters of the Spirit, that, Lord, the waters of the heavens would open up, and that You would give this land water, that You would give this land rains in her season in the name of Jesus. I give the faith command for the clouds to open and for the rains to come. I say in Jesus' name, her reservoirs are full. I say her resources are plenty. I say in Jesus' name that there is abundance in this land. Abundance in this land. Abundance in this land. Abundance of resources. Abundance of waters. Abundance even of gold that has not yet been seen. I say in Jesus' name that the hidden treasures of this land, the things that are hidden in the dark places of this land, I call You forth in the name of Jesus. I call forth the wisdom of God into the hands of the righteous. I call forth the light of the gospel to shine upon the businessman of the body of Christ. I say in Jesus' name, You are lifted. You are lifting. You are lifting those who see and know Your ways into places and into seats of financial authorities in Jesus' name, to open their eyes, to open the doors, Lord, that they might move in the grace and in the power of God. We lay hold of the economy of this nation. We lay hold of the economics of this nation. We lay hold of the financial trends of this nation. We lay hold of the finances of this nation. And we call You into the service of the kingdom of God. You serve the body of Christ. You serve the purposes of God. You serve the plans of God. You serve the strategies of God. You serve the people of God. You serve the church of the living God. Angels, I charge you now in Jesus' name. I charge you to go forth and you bring those resources into the hands of the kingdom. I charge you to go forth and bring the money into the plans and the hands of God. I charge you now to go. I say go. I say go in Jesus' name. Bring the resources into the body of Christ in this land in Jesus' name. Whisper into the ears of the bankers of God. Whisper into the ears of the financiers of God. Whisper into the ears, Lord, even into the ears of those that think they don't know You. But Lord, that have ears to hear, move on their minds, move on their hearts, move on their thinking to make decisions that bless the kingdom, that prosper the kingdom, that prosper the plans of God in the name of Jesus, that the church of the living God might rise up in this last days, that she might rise up in the fullness of the glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And now, Lord, we pray for the pastors of this great land, every single shepherd of the sheep in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that they would delight your heart. Lord, the sheep are on your heart. We have seen, Lord, by the word, that you have wept over the sheep that have no shepherd, and you have angered at the sheep, at the shepherds who slaughter the sheep. You have angered at them. And so, Lord, we lift up the shepherds to you, for this is something that's strong on your heart. And you said in these days you would raise up shepherds that would care for your sheep, that would feed your sheep. I'm asking you on behalf of the people, on behalf of the church, Lord, I am asking you to cause shepherds to rise up in a dimension of faith, in a dimension of revelation, in a dimension of power, in a dimension of the Holy Ghost, that they did not even know or understand was possible. But Lord, by the faith of the people in this room tonight, in Jesus' name, I pray that their eyes be opened, that they be flooded with the light of God, that they would know you in an intimacy and in a way that they'd never seen or known before or even thought or knew was possible. You said, Lord, you could even lead the blind in a way they know not. So, Father, even for those who are dull of hearing, those who have been educated apart from your word, Lord, I'm asking you by your Spirit, on behalf of the people, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the plan, on behalf of the purpose, this end-time purpose of God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would take hold of every pastor of this land. You would lay hold of them. That there would be a fire in their belly, a fire in their soul, a fire of the Holy Ghost. That, Lord, they would open their mouths and there would be a pouring out of revelation. And they will hear themselves say things that they didn't even know. They will hear utterances of the Holy Ghost that they thought weren't even of God, that they will come to God under the presence of their own preaching in the name of Jesus. They would fall on their knees, fall on their face, cry out with hearts rended before the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, Lord, that you would appoint angels of might, angels of strength, angels of power to stand before them, to help them, to lift them up, to feed them of the manna of heaven in the name of Jesus, and help them and point them in the way that they should go to do battle for them in the name of Jesus, and draw the sword of the Lord. Glory to his name. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory and glory and glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord, now I pray for the prayers. Lord, I would that all would be people of prayer. I would that all your church recognize and heed the voice of the Good Shepherd that calls them into the place of authority, that beckons them to the throne of God, and to take their seat and their place with you, that the strategies and plans and purposes of your kingdom might come to full fruition, Lord, as they obey you and speak your voice and utter your commands from the heavenlies. And Lord, I pray for all those, though, that have already, Lord, that they have given their life to you. those, Lord, that have chosen that they would follow your voice. They have chosen and said that they would heed you, that they would listen to you and follow the unction of the Holy Spirit. Yielded vessels, Lord, those that have come to you in the night, those that have come to you, Father, in the middle of the night and offered themselves, offered their prayers. And Lord, even those that really didn't know how to follow, didn't know how to hear, didn't know the word to stand upon, but their hearts, Lord, were offered to you. Lord, I lift up those. I lift up those. I lift up those who have laid their hearts bare before you and said, I will pray. I will lift my voice. I'll speak the words that you give me, Lord. I pray for them now. I pray for utterance in the Holy Ghost. I pray for utterance by the Holy One. I pray, Lord, that you would give them places to walk in the Spirit, that you would open their eyes to the call of prayer, that you would open their eyes to the Word of the Living God where prayers are concerned. I'm asking you to teach them by the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to cause them to come in contact with teachers in the body of Christ that would equip them, that would sustain them, that would teach them and show them and lead them how to take up their armament, how to take up the breastplate of righteousness, how to put on that helmet of their salvation, how to girt their loins with the truth of the gospel, how to shod their feet with the preparation of the gospel of wholeness, and how to take up the shield of faith and to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, to hold forth that shield of faith, how to hold forth that shield, Father, how to hold it forth on behalf of the church, on behalf of the pastors, on behalf of the congregation, on behalf of the nation, on behalf of the plans of God, and to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Word which the Spirit wills, to put the two-edged sword of the Spirit in their mouth, to be skillful in the word of righteousness. I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for them in Jesus' name. She would lift them up. And that they would find new places in you. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Word of God concerning and revealing prayer, Lord, that it would take wings in this nation. That it would take wings in this nation. I say in the name of Jesus that doors would open, that the voice and the cry, Lord, the cry of the Word where prayer is concerned would be heard from north to south and east to west, that the equipping of the saints, Lord, that they would know and understand and comprehend their place in you. And they're working with the throne of God in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we pray over Brother Jerry's coming. Brother Jerry Savelle, I lift him to you. I lift his meetings to you. I lift the voice of God that's on deposit in him to you. I say in Jesus' name that as he steps on this land, as he steps in this, the atmosphere of this place, I say in Jesus' name that the voice of the Lord within him will rise up in a manner of strength that he has not known before, and that he has only seen in his spirit, but has never given voice to. I say in Jesus' name, he has utterance in the Holy Ghost to change things. Utterance in the Holy Ghost for impartations. Utterance in the Holy Ghost that you are sending him, Lord, as a prophet for the prophet. You are sending him as a prophet before the prophet. That the things that he says will stir this nation, stir the church, stir the pastors, stir the people, and cause things to begin to move and to be rearranged in the atmospheres of heaven in Jesus' name where this nation is concerned. And then, Lord, we pray for Sister Billy as she comes comes on his heels. I say in Jesus' name that, Lord, as she opens her mouth and calls forth for the glory, let the glory of God fall in this place. Let the glory of God fall in this nation. Let the glory of God hit this nation. Hit this nation. Hit this nation with a fullness of force. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there will be assignments that have been laid out and strategies of darkness for many, many years, even generations, even from the founding of this land, that as she speaks will come undone like a shoestring. It will come undone. Halebro. Generations of strategies and thoughts and plans in the minds of men that thought it was right and thought it was the way, when all along it was under the influence to move this nation away from God. But as she speaks, the power of the Lord within her will cause those things to come to nothing. Hallelujah. Pradodo klebre di stoka manashta gridasta. Engele megidozo zibarados dobro no kole masadza. Engendendi shobo no kele li mashia ramaka saha makashta tane kiche. And then we pray, Lord, for the coming of Brother Copeland and Sister Copeland. And Lord, we pray for the coming, Lord, for the assignment. The brombra hadagle geberos dat sashta kashatata. For the assignment that is within him, for the dabrosh dat siglebro hokomoj dat sabra hatashtata. Yeah, sakabashtata. I thank you, Lord, for the preparation. I thank you for the unloosening of the things, of the strategies that come to nothing. But Lord, as they come, I thank you, Lord, that it will, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that the voice of the Lord that is within him will be the voice of the Lord upon the waters. Don't go anywhere. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory will thunder. The Lord will be upon the waters of the Spirit. The voice of the Lord within him is powerful. The voice of the Lord is in full majesty, the voice of authority to come to this land and to speak the will of God into this nation. The voice of the Lord will break the cedars. The voice of the Lord will break in pieces. He makes them also to skip like a calf. Hallelujah. The voice of the Lord will split, flashes forth forked lightning. The power of God, the glory of God, the lightnings of God released into this land. In the name of Jesus, the voice of the Lord will make the wilderness tremble. Hallelujah. The Lord, the voice of the Lord will make the hinds bring forth their young. His voice will strip bare the forest while in his temple everyone is crying out, glory, hallelujah. The Lord sat as king over the deluge. The Lord still sits as king over forever, and the Lord will give unyielding strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How we glorify the name of the Lord. Ong lege barada shole mesa zaza shtayeta. Hing lege barano no no mo shebra na na lamron dastala kipro tashtin. If you are in full-time ministry, come down to the front right now. If you are in full-time ministry, come to the front. Embrando de diglege brotasta. Ingrigisi zasado bastesi. Ala kamamarom brondesti kishtabone. Come quickly. Full-time ministry. Adombondo stelebre digilo vondamastazasi. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Abrando do bastazi. Hallelujah. Prado di stelele brada. Ingirigit sindo bumbre de di stazole prataste. Ella bondene nisi. Sweetheart, you're not in full-time ministry. Go sit down. Ella kambondon de di stazaza si zatabar. Not yet. Your day's coming. Your day's coming. But let's just, I want people that, I'm not talking about just called to ministry. I'm talking about you are in full-time ministry. Now, if you're not in full-time ministry, do you believe you're called? Well, just take a step back and I'll pray for you in a minute. But I only want to lay hands on people that are actually in full-time ministry right now. Okay? To be really careful to obey the Lord when you're in the midst of His presence. Okay? In the name of Jesus, aratashtongata. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold falls at our feet and the power of God is released in the name of Jesus, in the name of His Son. By the in the name of Jesus, barindonga bahata shtadzido modebe. Edanana kesto motazaza. Edadosa branda sting levere. Endambarata sto zebegista zasaza stijata. Enana hadobo no gomoste. Emanana si. Ehere testonga basta. Engandombo handresta grombrone le. You still don't ever wait. Come off of her in the name of Jesus right now. Every bit of it. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you be free. You be free in Jesus' name. Oh, bahada gadza dabashta tasi. Edanano deje tele barabo sele badiste. Ingeret singli giva zoze beni nosta. Elemanana shobra gabasi zasi. Engarak hasaza sopotea nana. Oh, karamana nashta zoze sidata. Ingelelele kisto deregisaza. Hey, tishnovra halelele stomo no koste beninitsto. Rindingilele bada jidiga vroma taso ziza badashta. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bada dishtets de haragaso zese jatata. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Hadzose prastashta kapa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, no clap, please. Sapratoshtik ligi sasa zoshtik hitsasa. Ebo dindigire dishto zesi zabra no le avato shalakamat sasasi. Enge de shele vod stobri dingile magajadzo sinzi batara bradosti. Le do se di araga nashala. Ede nini varaton ze giva zazo stetish nakra protesta sarati. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, was there someone that I said I would pray for someone? You believe that you came up here and you believe you're called to ministry, but you're not in full-time ministry. I said I would pray for you. Is there anyone up here like that? Now, where's that little girl that came up? Where is she? Where is she? She's coming. These seats aren't very friendly for this, are they? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now come here. Come up here. In the name of Jesus. I say in Jesus' name that you are separated. You are separated unto God for all of your life. And you belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You are His. You are His precious treasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill her, Lord, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Did I pray for everybody? Did I miss anybody here? Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Holy Spirit's doing business tonight. Hallelujah. That's His privilege, isn't it? Hallelujah. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, get up here. Get up here. This is your moment. Right here, right now. This is your time. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, this is your day. This is your moment. The Holy Spirit is right here. He is. He has His eye on you. Haratos ekiris tatata. Hadobra taso lebregi didostombra daradzazasi. Agoleberi tisho neni kitsazozesi. Adodobra dorebristasta. Englegevano nedidista dobra stele. The saints are praying. Halakobra daridijdasi. Alekiti dobra dare distatza hello in girigista zo dara bradara distatzi ando de digi basso ze kliki parato stazi halala kastoze si asta. I'm going to lay hands on you and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I have to ask you, and each and every one of you, I want to know, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is Jesus, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Is Jesus your Lord? Have you asked Jesus into your heart, sweetheart? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? You asked Jesus, Jesus is your Lord?
Not completely.
Not completely? Well, let's get that done, too. How about you, sir? Jesus is... All right, then we'll just all pray this prayer together. We'll just go to the throne right now. Oh, God in heaven.
Oh, God in heaven.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus...
You sent Him for me.
He
lived.
And He died.
For me.
He bore my sin.
But you raised Him from the dead.
I receive Him as my Savior.
I give my life to Him.
Jesus, come into my heart.
I am born again.
I'm a child of the living God.
And as a child of God,
you have promised me
the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus Himself said
that if I know how to give a good gift,
how much more will the Heavenly Father
give the Holy Spirit
to those that ask Him?
So I'm asking,
Father,
give me the Holy Spirit
to overflowing.
And when hands are laid on me,
I believe I receive.
I yield myself to you.
And I will in Jesus' name
begin to speak with other tongues.
Now you just yield to the Holy Spirit. Whatever comes to you, you just speak it out.
He doesn't do the talking, you do. And whatever you give utterance to,
He'll be the one leading you. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit.
Just get your eyes on Jesus and begin to speak words to Him. And you do it by faith. Engrendo de le kito bradaro kostele kindo de beredizon zegira kasto zestiata.
Now just speak out loud enough for you to hear yourself.
Abronde di gligi derabro desti halak on zesti dashta.
Now I can't hear you, but are you speaking in English?
I'm not speaking
in English?
No.
No, well, that's the Spirit of God on you. Well, speak up loud enough for you to hear yourself. It'll build your faith. Receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. You can't do but one language at a time. Nambrando do gachata katata.
You already asked.
Now quit talking English. Ambrodo de gili kisto brodo do le kista caparato costa da gastata.
Please fill me with you.
Okay, we ask. This is what Jesus said. We ask, believe we receive.
I believe I receive.
Okay, now we don't ask again. So now just begin to by faith. It's by faith. Everything in God's by faith. So you just speak out whatever comes up and you don't worry about it. It's not going to hear it in your head. But you've got to give it the voice. That's right. Fan, just come behind me and pray with them. Just pray with them.
Okay.
You just speak. Just use faith and just speak out something. There you go. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive. Jane, you want to come up and pray with people? Christine, you want to come up and just stand there and pray in tongues with them? Just begin to speak out in faith. There you go. I got to receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. Somebody pray with her already? In the name of Jesus, say, I believe, I receive. And you just begin to pray in tongues. Just pray anything that comes to you. Just talk to Jesus in that language. You just but you make the noise. You make the sounds. You make the words. Talk out loud. Just let words come. Just say whatever comes to you. It's okay. They don't come to your head. Just take a breath. You're kind of wanting to say something, aren't you? Did you want to come? Is it something you wanted? What's your name? Is it Heather?
When I was happy, when I was born.
I know, okay. Well, you just talk to Jesus. You just talk to Jesus in tongues. You know, you like to talk to Jesus? Just say words to him. Just speak words up to him. It's okay. You know what? It'll come to her. It'll just come to her. Yeah. The Holy Ghost is right there. And as those words come to you, you just begin to say them to Jesus, okay? Is it, are you your mom? Yeah. Just pray with your mom, okay? Do you do that for me?
I pray for my nana.
Okay, you can pray for
my heart.
Good, okay. Okay, well, when those words come to you, just say them out loud. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It'll come to her.
No.
Okay, all right. Okay. Have they been prayed for?
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. It's all over you. Just yield to, just begin to speak out.
It doesn't matter.
Just speak it out. It's by faith. Holy Ghost will take hold with it. Don't try to figure it out whether where it's coming from. Just He knows how to connect with your heart. Just look at Jesus while you're saying those things. Just say those things to Him. Bible says in Corinthians, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. So just speak to God. Yep. Just keep going. Just keep it up.
Can't get it out.
No. Yeah. You're doing it. You're getting it out. What do you mean you can't? There it is. You just keep a rombo gishti. Just keep exercising. You keep working it. Hallelujah. It's right there. That's yours. That is your prayer language. You just did, so just keep doing it. Just like anything else, the more you do it, the better you get. Okay? Just do it together. Go ahead. There you go. You are ready, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, saints, for praying. Somebody prayed for you, didn't they? Hallelujah. And as you're praying and in agreement, then the Lord's marking it up to your account that you brought and help all these people come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Abrodo dele barasto zizasa. Okay. Prandozi zizato brasta klikisita tam. All right. Well, you all can go back to your seats if you like, and we'll just see. Abrodo dele klikisata. Yeah, you just keep doing it. Just keep saying those things to God. You know, learning to pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't... I wish it wouldn't do that. You don't learn to speak in tongues the way you learn to speak a known language, because your brain doesn't really learn it. But what you do learn is how to yield. And you do learn how to be developed. And you do learn how to explore different expressions of the Holy Spirit. I began to study some things about the expressions of the Spirit. And I came across, I think, somewhere between 40 and 50 different ways in the Scripture that the Holy Spirit expressed Himself through men and women. And so there's, and that's just all the ones I've come across that I've seen. I certainly haven't exhausted that. So there are many ways that the Holy Spirit expresses Himself, and it's our privilege to explore those things along with Him. Praise the Lord. Well, we just thank the Lord for what He's done tonight. He seemed to see fit that He wanted us to do some things. But let's go to the Word for just a little while and see what He would have to show us from the Word. How many of you were not here last night? You have hands? But what's with you Australians? Y'all like pick a night and come. We had a big group last night and they didn't come back. Now you're here. But I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came. Hallelujah. But y'all have to, I guess, get the CDs or something so you can get caught up. We started talking about the dwelling places of the glory. Dwelling places of the glory. Where do we see in Scripture that God chose for His glory to dwell? And we know that the glory of God is the heavy weightiness of everything that is good in God. In fact, everything that is good is in God. There is no goodness apart from God. And we went to the Scripture and we found out that God first chose to display His glory there on Mount Sinai. And He met with Moses, and there was thunder and lightning and smoke and the clouds. And the Bible says that God stepped down on the mountain in the fire. And I mean, it was an awesome sight. So much that the Bible says that Moses said, "I am terribly afraid." And the people
They were so afraid, they stepped back. But Moses said, I'm going up the mountain. And he went and met with God. And from there, God said to him, build me a tabernacle. And so they built a tent, a very glorious tent. Best estimations were that it was somewhere around $20 million invested in that tent. Some tent, huh? And it was very well done. And it was so that God could dwell among his people. And then from there, about a little less than, I think it was about 500, a little less than 500 years later, the temple was built, Solomon's temple. And there have been many years of preparation for that temple. But sure enough, in both the tabernacle and at the temple, the glory of the Lord fell. And it says that the priests could not minister because of the glory, the thick, heavy weightiness of God. And there was the thick cloud, the thick presence of God. But every time that God would do those things, it was still only temporary. You couldn't get up in the morning and necessarily go have a chat with the Lord. And those kinds of things, you can read in a matter of days everything of significance that happened over a 4,000-year period where the glory was concerned. But there came a time when, because of the blood of Jesus, then we became the temples of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6, both say, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And we found out that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so you have a deposit of the glory of God, the presence of God. Colossians says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. And then the next verse in Colossians 2:10 says, and in you also dwells the fullness of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit present within you. So that when you wake up in the morning, you can have a little talk with Jesus. When you go to bed at night, Jesus can have a little talk with you. You can walk in the presence of God every moment of every day. And God got out of his box and he got into you. Hallelujah. And then we found out that the dwelling places of the glory are not just only the individuals, but the manifested glory of God comes as the people of God assemble and come together. That there is a manifestation of his glory, and it's greater than just the sum of our parts. That there are things that God does when we come together that just don't happen when we're alone. That things that happen with the deposit, we all have all of the essence of God is within each of us, but he expresses that through us individually. And as those expressions come together, there's an anointing and a presence that comes among us that is created as a result of all of us being together that doesn't happen any other way. That's why we should never forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's why, just like in this prayer time tonight, I could have prayed those prayers. I could have said those exact same words in my hotel room today. You could have said those exact same words in your house or in your car. But there is an effect that when the people of God come together, there is an authority that comes together in the name of Jesus as we assemble together, and a faith that arises to God and things begin to happen. There's voice given to it that there is a strength and a faith behind it that wouldn't have been there otherwise. And so these dwelling places of the glory, as we went back then, we started to look at the things and realized that there were patterns in each one of those examples where the glory filled the temple. First the Mount Sinai, then the tabernacle, then the temple, and then the people of God. What we saw in the book of Acts was that the people were filled. The Bible says each of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues. But then what happened? As the Spirit came in them, he then was upon them and they moved out into the streets. And there was an opening for the glory to come into the whole earth. And it spread, and just within a matter of moments, 3,000 people came to the Lord. And then within days, it was no longer countable. The church grew on a daily basis with signs and wonders and miracles and demonstration of everything from the jail was shaken, the church was shaken, the house was shaken, people were shaken, the dead were raised, the sick were healed, the lame walked, the blind could see, devils were cast out, all in the name of Jesus. The glory of the Lord had not only come out of the box that was in the temple, but he had not only come into the individuals, but he was coming out of them and leaving a deposit of the glory among them. So we'll go back and look at all of those different places where the glory can be seen. We see that there is a pattern. There's a coming together of elements in each and every one of those places, that when they come together by the Holy Spirit, then they begin to create that storm of the glory, the cloud, the smoke, the fire, the lightnings of God. And though seeing all those things would be wonderful, it's the results of it that we are most hungry for. And those are the results of people's lives being changed, their bodies healed, and people coming to the Lord. And we talked about one of those things last night. The first thing that we noticed was that they were sanctified. That's a very churchy word, but it just simply means being separated. 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." To be sanctified means to be set apart. It means I don't want to go the way the world goes. I don't want to think the way the world thinks. I'm going to let the Word of God renew my mind, and I'm going to think like God thinks and do what God wants me to do. Be separated unto Him. Why? So that He can use me. So that He can flow through me. So that I can be that vessel of the glory. So that when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. So that when I speak, things happen. So that when I pray for people, their lives are changed. So that the glory of God can flow through me, not just for me, but through me to other people. But we have to be set apart for the Master to use us. We have to be set apart, looking to Him, following Him. And when we do that, then it makes us available. The next thing that I want to talk to you about that was part of each of those things, we talked this morning about prayer. We talked about how Moses went up the mountain. We saw how Solomon prayed before the dedication of the temple. We saw how Peter prayed. We saw how the 120 prayed. And in that place of prayer, the glory of the Lord begins to settle and move. And that's what we had happen here this morning. Those of you that were here, did we not? Did we not have the presence of God follow that place of prayer? And as we began to pray tonight, what happened? The glory of the Lord begins to manifest. And so prayer is a key part in the manifestation of the glory of God, primarily because in prayer, all of those other elements begin to come together. They come together, first of all, in prayer. The sanctification, when the hearts are people are repentant before the Lord and their hearts are yielded to God and given over to God and say, I'm going to leave the world behind me. I've decided to follow Jesus. That's prayer. It comes in the heart of prayer. And all the other elements that create that storm of the glory, they are brought together by the Holy Spirit. First of all, in prayer. First of all, they begin to work in prayer. And so we talked about that this morning. But I want to name a few other things to you that are significant. And as we lift the Word of God, deposit these things in our heart, and we by faith begin to act on them, then the Holy Spirit is like a scientist, you know, at the lab table, and all the different elements, the different ingredients are set around. And as the Holy Spirit begins to pour them, He knows just the formula. He knows just how much of this and just how much of that and who brings this and who brings that. And as He pours it all in together and it begins to stir and it begins to heat up with the fire of the Holy Spirit, then there is a great storm that erupts out of that laboratory, and it is the glory of the Lord. The next thing that I want to talk to you about is unity.
unity. Let's look at Psalm 133. And then we'll see, we'll take a look at these places of the glory, the dwelling places of the glory, and how unity played a part. In Psalm 133, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment poured on the head that ran down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, who was the first priest. It came down upon the collar and skirts of his garments. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon and the dew that comes on the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The blessing of the Lord has been commanded upon unity among the brethren." Now I want to show you this. Let's look at 2 Chronicles again. We've been going there a lot. As we saw where the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, "When the trumpeters and the singers were joined in unison, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and other instruments to the Lord, saying, He is good and His mercy endures forever. And then the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so the priests could not stand to minister." Unity, the unison that of people coming together. Unity. But now that was a unison of sound, a unison of the people. All the assembly had come together for that dedication. And if you read through Chronicles and in 1 Kings, you find that the people were so in agreement with Solomon about this temple. They were in agreement with David, and they were behind the building of the temple. They were thrilled at what David did, and they were thrilled with what Solomon did. But now look at Acts chapter 1. When it's no longer just the sound of instruments, no longer just the sound of the priest, but it's the hearts of the people in Acts chapter 1. Verse 14, "And all these were the people gathered in the upper room, and all of these with their minds in full agreement devoted themselves to prayer." Hallelujah. In full agreement. Now look at chapter 2, verse 44. "All who believed," this is at the end of Peter's sermon after the outpouring of the Spirit, "all who believed were united, and together they had everything in common. They sold their possessions, distributed the price among all according as any had need, and day after day they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose." Day after day they worked at it. They came together in unity. But here is our word. Let's see what Jesus has to say to us about unity and the glory of God in our lives in this day and this time. In Matthew chapter 18, a familiar verse to many of us, Matthew 18, verse 19, he said, "Again I tell you, if two of you, just two of you on earth, agree, harmonize together about anything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name," now watch this, "there I am in the midst of them." Does that sound familiar? The I am is in the midst of them. The great I am. Who is the great I am? He was the fire in the bush and the bush wasn't consumed. Who was the great I am? He was the great I am that split the Red Sea. He was the great I am that brought Israel out of Egypt and brought the plagues upon Egypt so that they would know that there is a God in all of Israel. The great I am who said, "I am the healer. I am your banner. I am your deliverance. I am your help. I am your hope. I am your redeemer." The great I am. And Jesus said, when two or more come together in a harmony, in a spirit of harmony, the I am is there. Hallelujah. I am is in the midst. Now we know if you go a couple of chapters over to Matthew 22, verse 37. We know that this is the commandment that Jesus said was the greatest commandment. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great commandment. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And these two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. But that's the Old Testament commandment for love. Jesus gave a New Testament commandment, and it's a little different than the Old Testament commandment. Look now at John chapter 13. Verse 34, he says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. So what's new about that? Didn't he already say that you should love your neighbor as yourself? Here's the different part. You should love one another as I have loved you. The best the Old Testament people could do was to love one another as much as they loved themselves, because that's the only love that they really were acquainted with, was the love for themselves. But Jesus took this on a higher order, and he said, I am commanding you to take the order of love to the highest order, the love wherewith I have loved you. And I have loved you with the love which my Father has loved me. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I saw something in this today. It is when we begin to love one another with the love wherewith He has loved us, that things begin to happen that people can see. You know, we've tried to win the world by loving them, and it doesn't say too much about loving them. Of course, we would. It would be right that we should love them, but that's not what says we'll win them. The love that we have for one another, as we begin to love one another in an exchange, in an atmosphere, you see, the things of God are like that storm. They build upon, one builds upon the other. It gets higher and higher. You know, everything in God that's alive grows. Everything that's in God is alive. And it grows like a storm. It gets bigger and it feeds on itself. And as we love one another, the love increases. And we learned today that in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, desire gifts. But he said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way than just to desire them for yourself, love. I want to help you. I want to love you with the love that Jesus has loved me. He loved me so he sent the Holy Spirit. He loved me so the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He teaches me. He instructs me. He gives me wisdom. He helps me discern. He gives me faith. He gives me the ability to walk in the realm of the Spirit. And I want to love you with that same ability. So I am open for Him to work through me to minister life to you, because I desire Him for you. I desire Him for you. I want you to have Him. I want you to know Him. I desire you to be blessed by Him. So as I am open and I let that love flow to you through me from Him, sometimes it'll come out in a word of knowledge. Sometimes it'll come out in a word of wisdom. Sometimes it'll come out in an operation of the gifts of healing, or the working of miracles, or discernment of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Why? Because I desire for the love of God to reach you. And when you desire for the love of God to reach me, and you can't wait to get to church on Sunday because you love people there, and you want to just let God love on them through you, and you love God and you want to hear what He has to say, and you want to help the pastor preach the message, so you come and you love on Him. Whoa, when a congregation gets together like that, the love of God begins to feed on itself and it gets bigger and bigger. And what happens? Well, the power of God is on display and people begin to notice. People begin to see what happens among us. We've fallen short, would you say, of what's available. The key word in all of this is that it is our commandment. Why would Jesus make that commandment? Because in the Old Testament, all the law and the prophets hung on loving God and loving one another as yourself. But in the New Testament, all of the operations of the Holy Spirit hang on loving one another as He has loved us. Because He goes on to say, and if I don't, it doesn't matter if I talk in tongues, prophesy, give myself up to be burned. If I don't have love, I am a useless nobody and just making a lot of noise. Hallelujah. So unity, purpose of love. What is agape love? What is agape love? Agape love is a different love than the human love. Agape love is different than the Greek word for human love, phileo love. Phileo love is a love whereby I respond to you. Something about you makes me respond to you. It could be because I think you're wonderful. Could be because you've been nice to me. You've been good to me. Maybe because I think you're pretty. Maybe because I have pity on you. Maybe I feel sorry for you. Maybe I have compassion on you. Maybe you did something for someone else. Maybe it would seem to make me more popular if I could be around you. Maybe I find benefit for myself to do for you and that I think it will get me somewhere. But that's not the agape love. The agape love pays absolutely no attention to anything about you. My attention is on the fact that God has loved me and I have to get that love to you. It's about the purpose of God. It's because I've been told to love you. And it's because that if I love you, then I can expect I am to show up desiring Him. And if I want to see Him, I'm going to have to love you. Whether you do anything for me or not, whether I like what you do for me or not, whether you do something against me or not, whether I like you or not or don't like you or not, whether I can see any benefit or if it costs me something, it makes no difference. My purpose is for the plan of God. My purpose is to see God. My purpose is to know God. My purpose is to rise in God. My purpose is to give you God because He has given Himself to me. And when you are driven by that, when you are married to that, you don't see other things in people. It's not without challenge. It's not always easy. Especially if you're married. But the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. God is a circle. He's complete. No beginning and no end. And so what He calls you to do, He equips you to do. What He equips you to do, He calls you to do. Never ask you to do anything that He didn't give you Himself. Give you Himself. He didn't ask you to love apart from Him. He gave you Himself and said, okay, now with this, go love people. Isn't that something? The love of God. The next thing I want to show you is an interesting thing, but it's very productive when it is got harmony, when it has love, when it has faith behind it, and that is offerings. Offerings can be and bring down the glory of God. They can open a door for a dimension of the glory in a way not anything else really can. Let's look at Exodus chapter 24. Giving. Giving to God. Being eager to give to God. Now, if when I said that word offerings and you felt a little twinge, you felt it get a little tight, I don't know, maybe around the throat or maybe around your wallet, either way, then you should judge yourself for that. For God so loved, He gave. God so loved, He gave. And if you are going to love as He loves, then you're going to have to be a giver. You're going to have to be free and willing to let go of anything and everything as the Lord gives because there's more where that came from. Amen. And if you're holding on to something, then that's as much as saying as God couldn't get any more to me. And that then becomes your master. You serve it. It's talking to you more than the Lord's talking to you. There are times when George and I, together or sometimes individually, we set ourselves to come to a new level of giving, a new depth. We look for something deep on the inside. Lord, I want to go deeper in my giving. Help me see and know what you want me to do. Show me how to lay hold of a greater place of giving in my heart. And the Lord will tell us what to do. Sometimes it's an amount of money. The Lord challenged us this past year to give into our building offering in a way, in an amount that we had never before given. And we had a figure, and then the Lord said, double it. We said, okay. And we both got that same thing, and we set our faith to do it, and woohoo, we did it. Glory to God. By the grace and power of God, and it didn't hurt us a bit. And there are other times when the Lord would just drop it in my heart. We were in a minister's conference a couple of years ago, and I had prayed that prayer. And the Lord said, bring something of significance and give it to a minister in every service. And it wasn't really about money. I gave things that were significant to me. I gave a diamond bracelet. I gave a set of diamond earrings. I gave a designer bag that I hadn't used yet. I just gotten it, and so these were things that were special to me. Some of them were sentimental to me, but I brought something to every service and would look and see who would the Lord have me to give it to. Take it to them, give it to them, pray over them, and bless some minister of the gospel every service of that conference. Hallelujah. That isn't a brag on me, you understand. That was something the Lord led me to do in order to keep my place, keep a place in my heart so that there's always a flow. Always a flow. I refuse to let money stop the flow of the glory of God in my life. I refuse to let it talk to me that way. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. Jesus is my Lord, and I'm Lord over money, and I do what Jesus tells me to do with the money, and the money doesn't tell me what to do. And if I start feeling tight-fisted or tight-handed with money, then I'm going to start doubling up on my giving, because it's not going to have me, I'm going to have it. And when you do that, you qualify not only for an increase in your finances, but you qualify out of generosity of heart. You've made more room for the glory of God to flow. So here in Exodus chapter 24, I'll prove it to you. Exodus 24, verse 15. I like this. Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the Israelites like devouring fire on the top of the mountain. They could see it all the way down. Moses entered into the midst of the cloud and went up the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and nights. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites that they take for me an offering. First thing the Lord said to him in the midst of that 40 days of the glory of God. And the Lord said to me, tell them to bring me an offering from every man who gives it willingly and ungrudgingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. This is the offering you shall receive from them. It goes on to list gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, goat skins, dolphin and porpoise skins. So you all can bring your porpoise skins to church on Sunday if you'd like. Acacia wood, oil, onyx stones, stones for the settings of the ephod. Let them make me a sanctuary. Why? Why bring me an offering? Why do all that? That I may dwell among them. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look now at chapter 35. Verse 5. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing and generous heart, let him bring the Lord's offering. So this is when this offering starts happening. Look at verse 21. And they came, each one whose heart stirred him up and whose spirit made him willing, and brought the Lord's offering to be used for the tent of meeting, for its service and the holy garments.
They wanted their preachers looking good. And so they dressed the priesthood. They dressed them up great. And you know, you say, well, my heart doesn't stir me. Well, that's because you hadn't stirred your heart. You know, if your heart is dull, then you begin to stir it yourself. And you'll find that your heart was reaching out. The Lord was talking to you because the love of God, the love of and for God has been shed abroad in your heart. Okay, flip over now to verse 29. The Israelites brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All men and women whose hearts made them willing moved them to bring anything for any of the work which the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done. Now look over at chapter 36, verse 5. The people, they said to Moses, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work which the Lord commanded to do. So Moses commanded, and it was proclaimed, let no man or woman do anything more for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from their bringing. So their hearts were stirred up. Now let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is speaking of the offering that David had called an assembly. And in this assembly, he called, it's in chapter 28, tells who all he called. It was all the leaders of Israel, the officers that served in the king's courses, all of those who were over thousands and hundreds and stewards of property, stewards of livestock, all of the king's sons, all of the palace officers, mighty men, mighty warriors. So this was a huge group of very high-level officials in the government. And so in chapter 29, verse 3, because I have set my affection on the house of God, in addition to all I have prepared for the holy house, I have a private treasure of gold and silver, which I give for the house of my God. It's 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of silver. And he goes on talking about the silver and all the things that he brought. And it's been estimated that what David brought out of his own pocket was somewhere around $500 million. In addition to all the things that he had with the governmental resources prepared for the temple. That was just the money that he brought, was worth the silver and the gold that he brought was worth about $500 million. And then all of the officers received an offering. And he said, now who will offer willingly to fill his hand, consecrate it today to the Lord, like one consecrating himself to the priesthood. So in other words, he called all together his staff and he said, okay, I've given $500 million. What are you boys going to do? And so they began to bring in their offerings, and they gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 derricks of silver, 10,000 talents bronze and iron, and that totaled up to over, you know, different figures tell different things, but somewhere between $200 and $300 million came in from the staff. And so it says, then the people rejoiced because these had given willingly. For a whole and blameless heart, they had offered freely to the Lord. It absolutely thrilled the people to see the leadership bring this kind of offering. And so all the people were stirred up. And of course, what happened? Then Solomon came in, and with his great wealth, he brought in, and some figures are estimated that the temple, that it was somewhere between $1 and $2 billion that the temple was valued at because of all the gold that was in it. It was a massive piece. And so these were offering. Well, what happened then? The glory of the Lord was poured out in that place. When you bring to the Lord, it's honor to the Lord. When you give to one another, you are honoring the Lord. You are opening up your heart and you are acting like Jesus. When you act like Jesus, you make room for more of Jesus. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, I read this verse earlier already. They sold their possessions. They distributed the price among all according as any had need. And day after day, they assembled in the temple with united
purpose. In their homes they broke bread. They partook of their food with gladness, simplicity, and generous hearts, constantly praising God in favor and goodwill with all the people. So there was such a spirit that came upon them. It happened so quickly. Instantly, as that outpouring came, what happened? Out of their hearts, they couldn't give to one another fast enough. You know, and it says that they sold things. You know, that makes people nervous. You may have to sell my house and give. No, do what the Lord leads you to do. Follow your heart. But their hearts were so led that way, all of a sudden, nobody had any need. There was such a multiplication. You know, Jesus taught a lot about finances. He taught a lot about giving. Give and it shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Running over will men give into your bosom. Well, you ought to be one of the men that's running over. Don't always just picture yourself as the one with somebody running to you. You be the one running over. When you start running over, then what happens? You sow the seed and it starts running back to you. Hallelujah. And of course, we know what happened. There was an outpouring of the Spirit in that flow of love. So we've talked about being sanctified. We've talked about being unified. We've talked about bringing offerings. We've talked about prayer. Now I want to mention something else to you, and that is praise. We know, we won't go through and look at all the different scriptures, but we do know in Psalm 22:3 it says, "You are holy, O you that inhabitest the praises of Israel." You can go back again to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. You can look at Acts chapter 2. And in fact, while we're right here, we might as well just look at this. What very thing that happened in the midst of that great outpouring, and they began to speak in other tongues, all the people that heard them, they said, "We all hear them speaking in our own native tongues and telling of the mighty works of God." Right in the midst of all that, there was an outburst of praise and worship of God in all different languages. Then while we're here in Acts, let's flip over to Acts chapter 16. You're familiar with this, of course. In Acts 16:23. "And when they had struck them," talking about Paul and Silas, "with many blows, they threw them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He received them and put them in the inner prison and put their feet in stocks. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. The glory of the Lord came upon the place where they were lifting up praises to God, singing hymns, making spiritual songs unto the Lord, singing to one another in the midst of a dark night." Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord showed up. So praise is a key element to the outpouring. Then what about the word? Well, I don't know. You tell me. Mount Sinai. Who was the preacher? Who spoke the word on Mount Sinai?
God.
That's right. God preached quite a sermon. We call it the Ten Commandments. He preached the whole book of the law. All that Moses came down the mountain with was more than the Ten Commandments. It was the whole Levitical priesthood and all the foundations of our whole Judeo-Christian ethic came down off that mountain. Yeah, I'd say the word and the glory go together. In fact, the Jews, it is an amazing thing to watch them in Israel. As the Sabbath begins down there at the Western Wall, and you're standing there and you start to see the young men coming out of the Sheba. They're coming out of the study halls there in the old Jerusalem, and they begin to come out and they start to sing, and they're dancing and they're praising, and their groups, you know, they all look different. They're just like us. They have denominations and they have their little groups that are all, the young men are coming out in their banners, and they're singing and they're dancing and they're dancing and they're dancing their way all the way down from the school. They dance their way down to the Western Wall, and they begin to fill up that area down there, and they're all, they got, then they start to gather in groups, and there'll be tables. Just tables, oh, you know, maybe a couple of feet, 2-3 feet wide, just square. And they'll be there, and just several of them set around. And what they do is they'll come together, and somebody will come, and he's a teacher. He may be a rabbi or a leader, and he'll come to this table. And if he can get enough people around that want to listen to him, then he can keep that table. And about 12 is what they need. Does that sound familiar to you? Yes. And so they'll gather up around him, and they would be then his disciples. And as they're standing there at these tables and all of these different tables, they begin to preach. They begin to talk about the Word of God. And they lay open the Torah. And I stood there leaning over that wall watching them. Oh, my goodness. They started, thankfully, we had somebody there that could understand Hebrew enough to tell us what he was saying. And he got so excited. He was standing there at that table, and he was hitting the table. He was talking about the light of God's Word. He began to speak about the glory of the Word, the light of the Torah, and how the Word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. And he would get so excited about that, he'd slap the table, and he'd start running around the table. And when he started running, all the others would run around the table with him. They're running around the table, and they're singing and they're shouting about the light that's in the Word of God. The light that's in the Word of God. And this one's running around the table, and over here there's another group, and they're running around the table, and this group's bobbing back and forth. They're praising God for the Word of God. The light and the glory. They value this Word to such a degree, and they know that all of the light and all of the glory is in it. That God put all of it in it. And by the Holy Spirit, He draws it out. Hallelujah. So yeah, the Word and the glory, they go together. Preaching of the Word, the listening of the Word. What was it about the temple? What was the temple for anyway? They brought the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments, the stones, the Word of God, and the glory fell. And of course, right from the beginning in Acts chapter 2, Peter's sermon, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, how did he know this was that? They'd been in the Word. Been in the Word. Hallelujah. And it says in Acts chapter 6, verse 4 and verse 7, it talks about that they devoted themselves daily to ministry and the study and prayer and the study of the Word of God. But the most important scripture, I think, that says it to us the most is in Mark chapter 16, the last little bit. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Jesus speaks forth those signs. In verse 20, it says, they went out and preached the Word everywhere while the Lord was working with and confirming the Word with signs following. The signs, the wonders, the miracles, they all follow the Word. We never abandon the Word. The Word is at the core. And then the last thing, which is the catalyst, the thing that activates it all, and that is faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 as we close. Begin to close. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of the things that we hope for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by faith the men of old had divine testimony borne to them and obtained a good report. Everything that we see of the Old Testament, all the workings of the Spirit, all the demonstrations, all the mighty miracles, all the things that happened, fire falling down from heaven, the miracles of the prophets, the miracles of God, all of those things were the result of faith in God. Faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. At verse 5, because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred or translated to heaven. I'd say the glory fell, wouldn't you? Because of faith. He did not have a glimpse of death. He was not found because God had translated him, for even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony that he had pleased God. If you go to Genesis 5, you find out that it says he walked with God. It was his walking with God that pleased God. And verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. So without faith it is impossible to walk with him. And if you're not walking with him, you are not going to see the glory. The Bible tells us that God spoke face to face with Moses as a man speaks with a friend. That's a walk with God. And it's all done by faith. Hallelujah. Verse 33. Who by faith, talking about the men and women of old, by faith they subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained blessings, closed the mouths of lions, extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped devourings of the sword. Out of frailty and weakness, they won strength and became stalwart, even mighty and resistless in battle, routing alien hosts. Some women received again their dead by resurrection, but others who were tortured to death with clubs because they refused to accept their release on the terms of denying their faith so that they might be resurrected to a better life. Others, though, suffered. All of these things, he says, that happened by faith. All of these, Daniel in the lion's den, Samson, David and Goliath, all of the judges, all of those, Joshua, the walls of Jericho, all happened by faith. But the opposite of that, in Hebrews 3, and this is the word that I leave you with. Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a ministering servant. But Christ was faithful over his Father's house as a son. And it's we who are now members of this house if we hold fast to the end, our joyful confidence, or if we hold fast to our faith. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as what happened in the rebellion and their day of testing. The Lord says, where your fathers tried and tested me and found I stood their test, and they saw my works for 40 years. So I was provoked. I was displeased and sorely grieved with that generation and said they always err and are led astray in their hearts. They've not recognized my ways. Accordingly, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, beware, brethren, take care, lest there be in any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart, which refuses to trust and rely on him, leading you to turn away from God, the living God. Hallelujah. For we have become, but instead warn one another every day, as long as it's called a day, that none of you may be hardened by deceitfulness of sin. For we have become fellows with Christ, and we share in all he has for us if we hold fast our first newborn confidence and our expectation firm and unshaken to the end. Then, while it is still called today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. Verse 18, and to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest? But those who disobeyed. So we see that they were not able to enter into his rest because of their unwillingness to trust in God. So my word to you is don't harden your heart. Work hard to let your heart be tender before the Lord. And the promise that we have is though there was a great, great demonstration of the glory on Mount Sinai, and there was a great demonstration of the glory at the tabernacle and at the temple, 2 Corinthians 3:7 says, if the dispensation of death engraved in letters on stone, talking about the Ten Commandments, was inaugurated with such glory and splendor that the Israelites were not able to look at the face of Moses, why should not the dispensation of the Spirit be attended with much greater and more splendid glory? For if the service that condemns the ministration of doom had glory, how infinitely more abounding in splendor and glory must be the service that makes righteous. Indeed, in view of this fact, what once had splendor, the glory of the law in the face of Moses, has come to have no splendor at all because of the overwhelming glory that exceeds and excels. It is the glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus. And all of us, with an unveiled face, we continue to behold in the Word of God as a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are constantly being transfigured into His own image in ever-increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. We can, should be dwelling places of His glory. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. George and I would like to thank you as our friends and partners of this ministry. We thank you for coming and taking your time tonight to be with us and allowing us to bring something to you, I believe, from the Lord to help you, to equip you, to impart to you so that you can more confidently and boldly do the things that the Lord has called you to do. We so appreciate you and your faith. We just want to bless you and pray over you before we go tonight.